Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. What to do when you've been taken in was the problem Joshua faced with the Gibeonites. His response is a model for how we should react when we find out we've been had by making a reckless promise. Stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. In a series on making the best of a bad decision, Erwin Lutzer is talking about what happens when you make a foolish vow. Joshua is about to find out.
Joshua 9, if you have your Bibles, if you'd find it there. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua 9. Joshua makes a foolish vow. Joshua makes a foolish vow. Context of the story, here's what happens. God had said in the book of Exodus, do not make any vow with the heathen tribes of the land. All right? They must have known that that was one of the things that God had instructed Joshua about. So there's a tribe called the Gibeonites. And they think to themselves, wow, Joshua's wiping out all the different tribes, and we're next. What we're going to do is to pretend that we are not from the land. We are going to say that we originated from a far country, and we're going to come and lie about our origin and identity. We're not going to tell him that we're just a hill or two over from where he is, and we're going to trick him into making a treaty with us. So what do? They get some very old sandals. They get moldy bread. They have dusty clothes. And they come to Joshua and they say, hey, look, when we began this journey, our bread was fresh. When we began this journey, our sandals were clean. And now, of course, we have come from a very far land. Would you make a treaty with us not to kill us? Well, that's the context of the story. Joshua chapter 9. They are speaking, and they say in verse 11, so our elders and all the inhabitants of our country, this is now the Gibeonites who are talking, they said to us, take provisions in your hand for the journey and go meet them and say to them, we are your servants. Come now, make a covenant with us. Here's our bread. It was still warm when we took it from our houses as our food for the journey on the day we set out to come to you. But now, behold, it is dry and crumbly. These wineskins were new when we filled them, and behold, they have burst. And these garments and sandals of ours are worn out from the very long journey. Please make a covenant with us. Verse 14, so the men took some of their provisions, but did not ask counsel from the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them and made a covenant with them to let them live. And the leaders of the congregation swore to them. Joshua! Out of rebellion? Of course not. He had argued for God. He was the great warrior, the great one who trusted God. Just, we can assess the situation. Whatever appears to be right and the way in which things appear to be, we can trust our judgment. Now think about this. Joshua thought to himself, and almost unconsciously so, because he wasn't thinking, well, we don't need God here, but just, yeah, it's reasonable. We don't have to seek God over this. Have you ever noticed that things often aren't what they appear to be? Throughout the years, I've sometimes asked couples who were severely mismatched. I don't think I've ever used that phrase before, but I think it fits. Did you ever ask counsel of the Lord? Well, no, we just kind of thought, you know, he's a Christian, and I thought he was a Christian, and I thought I blah, 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 and so we just went ahead. Oh, yeah, uh-huh. So you didn't ask the counsel of the Lord, but things are often not what they appear to be. You can't assess these situations on your own. Only God knows the future infallibly. There's a Christian couple who sought the counsel of the Lord regarding buying a house. It looked as if they were going to buy it. It met their needs. It was in the right location. It was in the right price range. And somebody just bought it out from under their nose, as the saying goes. Well, God, what's it? You know, I mean, we sought your counsel. This house was perfect for us. Somebody else buys it. 6 months later, a wall in the basement of that house collapsed. They began to think, you know what? Maybe God was looking out for us. You know, you seek God's counsel and he'll look out for you. He really will. So they sought the counsel of the Lord not. They didn't. Now, to their everlasting credit, did Joshua say, well, you know, we can break this treaty because after all, it was made under false pretenses. They lied to us. They lied in terms of the way in which they came to us. They lied with reference to what they said to us. We don't have to keep this treaty. Blessed is he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. The text is open. It says later on, verse 18, but the people of Israel did not attack them, because the leaders of the congregation had sworn to them by the Lord God, the God of Israel. Then all the congregation murmured against their leaders. But all the leaders said to the congregation, we have sworn to them by the Lord, the God of Israel, and now we may not touch them. This we will do to them. Let them live, lest wrath be upon us because of the oath that we swore to them. Blessed is he who swears to his own hurt and does not change. This is a series of messages entitled Making the Best of a Bad Decision. And I'm telling you today that God is bigger than our messes. Our blunders do not confuse him. Our foolishness does not confound him. And our regrets do not limit him. God says, I'm going to make the best out of a bad decision, out of a foolish vow. How did Israel benefit as a result of this? How did God come through in light of the decision that they should not have made? Two ways. First, Israel had help in the temple. You'll notice it's in verse 23. Joshua is speaking to them, and he's condemning them for their deceit, which is only proper. Verse 22, I'll pick it up there. Joshua summoned them, and he said to them, why did you deceive us, saying, we are very far from you when you dwell among us? Now, therefore, you are cursed, and some of you shall never be anything but servants, cutters of wood, drawers of water for the house of my God. So all throughout the generations after that, I mean, we're talking hundreds of years, Israel used the Gibeonites as servants for the temple of God. The Gibeonites also profited because there's no question in my mind that some of them came to saving faith in Jehovah as a result of this, because later on you find that they become temple servants in the book of Ezra. And when you get to Nehemiah, you discover that they are helping build the wall. Next to so-and-so is this Gibeonite, the Bible says. So Israel had help. Didn't justify the foolishness of the vow. What it showed is that God picked up the pieces and God blessed Israel as a result of their integrity. But second, not only that, it is because of this foolish vow that the people of Israel were willing to keep that God gave them one of the greatest displays of his power that has ever been written upon the pages of this good book, the Bible. Awesome. 10th chapter, What happens is there's some kings who hear about the vow of the Gibeonites, and they say, we'd better take on these Gibeonites. Let's get a coalition of kings together. Let's go fight against them because they are in league with Joshua. So this whole company gathers together. And what happens? Joshua has to defend these people because, you know, he said he made a treaty and his word is his word. Though he was deceived into it, his word is his word. What happens? Joshua goes to fight, and one of the greatest miracles in all the Bible happened at Gibeon. You'll notice it says in verse 12 of chapter 10, at that time Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord gave the Amorites over to the sons of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still at Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still and the moon stopped until the nation took vengeance on their enemies. Isn't this written in the book of Jasher? We don't have that book, but there were many books that circulated back in those times. The sun stopped in the midst of the heaven and did not hurry to set for about a whole day. There has been no day like it before nor since when the Lord obeyed the voice of a man, for the Lord God fought for Israel. God says, Joshua, I'm going to do the greatest miracle recorded in Scripture, apart from the miracles of Jesus and the resurrection. And I'm going to give you that ability because of your integrity, sticking with a vow that really you should not have made. Israel saw the blessing of God and the power of God in the midst of living with a foolish vow. God blesses those who swear to their own hurt and do not change. Who don't say, yeah, but conditions have changed. Yeah, but. No, you said it, do it. Trust God for it. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer, and I can hardly think of a message that we need more than the one that you have just heard. We're living at a time when even the word of Christians is unpredictable and unreliable. God is very clear that we ought to be able to have our yes be yes and our no be no. Dependability, that really is the essence of integrity. If these messages have been a blessing to you, I hope that you remind others that they too can be listening to Running to Win, so that from time to time they will be blessed and encouraged and helped. In fact, I pray that it will happen every single day. At the end of this broadcast, you're going to be given information as to how these messages can be yours. Perhaps you know someone who needs to hear what I've been preaching. Well, of course, because of modern technology, you can listen to these messages again and again. As you have them in CD form, you can share them with others and they can be there when you need them. Thanks for joining us. I hope to see you again next time right here on Running to Win.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. Today, Erwin Lutzer talked about what to do when you make a foolish vow, another message in a series on making the best of a bad decision. Next time, some thoughts on ways to make lemonade from life's lemons. Making the best of a bad decision can be yours on CD as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.